Your Bible up to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Next week and the following weeks, there will be Christmas stories, but it was so weird how Christmas fell this year. I'd already started this, and I just felt like I was supposed to give it. And in Romans chapter 8, we find some of the most favorite verses in the New Testament. And this morning, you will find probably the most famous verse in chapter 8, one that many of you have memorized, one that many of you have experienced. But chapter 8 is a chapter that has so much benefit to us about how the Holy Spirit helps us to live our lives. And so the Holy Spirit comes to you and saves you at salvation. You get the Holy Spirit, you get all the Holy Spirit at the moment you were saved. And last week we talked about that, or the last time I was here, the week before that, and we talked about how the Holy Spirit comes into our life, and the scripture uses the word we are adopted. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit, and you are adopted into God's family. You were chosen by God because He loves you. It's a beautiful picture. But this morning in chapter 8, we're coming to a passage that is about how to deal with suffering. I think one of the poor jobs the church has done is prepare people for what every single one of us will have to encounter in life, suffering. I looked it up. Suffering means pain. It can be spiritual pain, it can be emotional pain, it can be physical pain. But every single one of us, because we are human, because we are in the flesh, because we are left on earth until Christ comes back, every single one of us in this room is going to have to deal with suffering. It doesn't even matter about your age. Some people start suffering or experience suffering at a young age. Some are older before they experience suffering, but the one thing we all do is experience pain. And so there's some great things in these verses about how to survive suffering. And for many, the holiday seasons are very difficult because of pain, usually emotional pain. But yet God's Word is so encouraging about how you deal with suffering. So let's look beginning at verse 18 through verse 30. He says, yet what we suffer now is nothing. I like that. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom. Get this, if you're a human, if you're a part of creation, which you are, it says that we will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of the future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies He has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Then look at verse 26, and here's the ones that really are good. They're all good. But listen to verse 26. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. You ever been like that before? You didn't know how to pray? Listen, if you hadn't, you're not thinking. But the Holy Spirit prays for us, I love this, with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Then look at verse 28. I would guess many of you have memorized this verse. It says, and we know, that word know means we're confident, and we know that God causes everything. I like that. Everything. You don't need a dictionary to define everything. Everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. And then in verse 29, another famous verse. For God knew His people in advance and He chose them, here's the key, to become like His Son. So that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them the right standing with Himself. And having given them the right standing, He gave them His glory. Now there's four things in this passage that will help you survive pain. Whether it's physical pain, whether it's emotional pain, whatever pain you're facing, whatever thing is causing you to suffer, there are four things that we, because we have the Holy Spirit, need to remember. So think about what causes you pain this morning. Pain number one, first thing, remember, it is temporary. Every single one of us are going to experience suffering. Every single one of us are going to experience pain and loss. It's just part of being left on earth. And in that very first verse, 18, he says, yet what we suffer now, whatever you're going through now, is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Whatever you're going through now is temporary. And we have hope. We know that someday we will be delivered from this. We know that someday we will be released from this suffering. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this, for our present troubles, you got any present troubles? For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So what is Paul trying to say? He's saying, listen guys, being human is suffering. You're going to have it. It's just part of being in the flesh. But every single one of us have hope because of the Holy Spirit living in us. We have hope for the future. We have hope that this isn't it. I can't imagine being a person who thought this is it. We have a hope that is eternal. But every part of your pain that you're going through now is temporary. But we're all going to go through it. I mean, just this weekend, this is going to sound silly, but it's not silly to us. We've got a dog that's very sick. And, you know, I've got to go to the vet with him tomorrow, but it doesn't look good. I know it's just an animal. It's not a human being. I understand that. But it really ticks me off. I like my dog. I hope he's going to get better. But the reality is, he may not. Because why? We live in a fallen world. See, here's the picture of Genesis. In Genesis, when God created all of creation, He said what? It is very good. And at that point of creation, in the beginning, before sin entered the world, they didn't have to deal with death and decaying and dying. They didn't have to deal with that. But guess what? Chapter 3 had to happen. And in chapter 3, man chose to sin, and guess what came into the world? Sin. And sin doesn't just affect us as believers in our body. It affects the entire creation. But you've got to understand, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it is temporary. In the book of Revelation, I think it's 24:1, it talks about there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I got news for you. There is nothing we can do to prevent this world from falling apart. I know we talk about we ought to be good stewards, we shouldn't pollute. I agree 100%. But guess what? Part of being human is destruction and decaying and stopping. There are stars that go out of existence, correct? We've got to understand that everything in this world that we see, that we experience, is temporary. Your body is temporary. I was talking with someone the other day, and they were talking about how they had good doctors. But when you get 85 or 90, there comes a limit to what a good doctor can do, right? Why? We're temporary. Sin entered the world. The world is decaying. Our bodies are decaying and slowing down. I mean, it's you say, Bill, it's Christmas. This is depressing. No, it's not depressing. It's reality. And the good news, Jesus came at Christmas to remind us there's hope for the future. I noticed in there it says, all creation groans. Verse 22, for we know that all creation has been growing as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. In other words, the world, the created world that we know, it has natural disasters. We have volcanoes go off. We have tornadoes. Why? The world groans and looks forward to the coming of Christ in the new world. Why? Because sin entered and affected the physical world as well as our bodies. The creation groans, but not only does the creation groan, believers groan. We have the Holy Spirit inside us, but guess what? This body wears out, doesn't it? I'm 61. I'm starting to feel it. Went and saw my mom this last week. Many of you ask, how is she doing? She's doing very, very well. But guess what? She's getting older. And whatever she has with her mind is getting worse. I played with her a little bit. I said, well, what's my name? And she knows who I am. It's never like she doesn't know who I am. But if I ask her a question where she has to respond immediately, there's a long pause. And then she looked at me and said, I said, well, I'm named after your husband. That didn't help much. But then after a minute, she goes, you're William Lafayette Ashburn IV. And then I said, well, what's my son's name? She said, William Lafayette Ashburn V. She finally got it all on the same page. But it was excruciating. It's excruciating when you're talking to your mom, she doesn't know your name a little bit. And then she got it. She knew who I was. But you know, she's 84, fixing to be 85. These bodies wear out. But here's what I do know about Yvonne Ashburn. She's got the Holy Spirit within her. And when her body wears out, in the future, she'll get a new one. You see, believers groan. Creation groans. Part of being in this body is having to deal with pain. And we need to teach Christians that it's not something you get exempted from when you become a Christian. Everybody in this room has a pain. It may be emotional. It may be a heartbreak. It may be physical. Every one of us. But the good news is this. We have hope. Because we have the Holy Spirit within us. So remember, all your suffering is temporary. It won't last forever. And that's good news. Now there's a second thing that's really good in this passage. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you in prayer. In verse 26 and verse 27, just read this and think about how good it is. He says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. In this body, it's always a struggle, but it says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And then it says, for example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. You're kidding me. Let me tell you what, folks. When my sons were born premature, I couldn't pray out loud. But I claimed this verse. I know what it's like to be in the waiting room by myself when the doctor comes in, you're not with your wife, you're not with your kids, and tells you it's serious. And I had nobody there with me except the Holy Spirit. And I couldn't pray, I couldn't utter anything. But you know what I remembered? I remembered this verse, and I was assured that the Holy Spirit was taking over for me and interceding for me and taking my prayers to the God of the universe. And guess what? He knows God's will. I could trust Him. You need to allow the Holy Spirit. He says, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. When you hurt really bad, sometimes you can't talk. How many of you been there and done that? When my dad was in the hospital and I was there by myself with him and he was literally preparing to leave this world, I couldn't hardly pray out loud. But I knew this verse and I knew that the Holy Spirit was taking care of it for me. Regardless of your age, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit lives within you and He knows how to pray for you and intercede for you in a way you can't even understand. Maybe you have a family member or a friend that is messed up and you don't know how to pray for them. Guess what? Sometimes you just drop their name before God and say, I don't even know how to pray for them anymore. You ever been there and done that? You just place that person and say, God, I don't know how to pray for him anymore. And here's the good news. He knows how to pray for him. You see, the Holy Spirit lives within us. When we're suffering, when we're in pain, He takes over. And so the good news is, let Him take over. And let Him intercede for you. And let Him pray according to God's will. Because He's got it. He understands it. Too many times, we try to figure it out. We try to get a beautiful prayer up. When in many cases, He just needs us to be quiet and submit and say, I don't even know how to pray, Lord. So if you've got that person that you don't know how to pray for, just say, Lord, I don't know how to pray for him. You take over. You intercede. So allow the Holy Spirit to help you in your prayers. But there's a third thing that is so cool. And that's the verse that you've all memorized. But it is a good verse to memorize. It's verse 28. Let me read it again slowly. And we know. That word know means we're not kind of sure. We're completely sure. And we know. What do we know? And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Now, this promise is a promise in Scripture, and it's only a promise for those who know God and love God, who are believers. But the promise is like this. You never have to have a time in your life where you worry about God being in control. And we know that God causes everything. Underline that word, everything. Anything that happens in your life, God can bring good out of. Now, it does not say everything that happens is good. Rape is not good. Murder is not good. Death is not good. It does not say that everything that happens to you is good. We must understand that. But what it does say, that you can have complete confidence that God can take whatever happens to you and bring good. Now that good, Americans, doesn't mean your pocketbook. A lot of times we start thinking, okay, good. Well, I had a wreck. I'm going to have to get a better car. You know, that's the way we think. No, no, no. What he's talking about there is anything that happens to you, and anything that happens to you, God has allowed to happen to you. Anything that happens to you, God can bring good out of it for His purpose and His plan for your life. And that's good news. There is nothing in this world that can happen to you that can mess up your life. Now, the truth is you may not see the good. The truth is you may not look for the good. But the beautiful thing, God promises to bring good out of whatever happens to you. Can God bring good out of cancer? Absolutely. You say, well, what? I don't know. But He can. What about addiction? Can God bring good out of addiction? Of course He can. For those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. Can God bring good out of a murder? Yeah, He can. A rape? Yeah. See, the picture here is that our God is so incredible that He can take the worst thing that can happen to us and bring good in the big picture of His plan for your life and my life. Now, here's the problem. You want to define for God what the good is. Oh, good would be, well, $1 million. No, it's not. You know, you may go bankrupt. The good that comes out of it may not be you're going to be a millionaire. But there can be good that comes out of it according to His plan. The Old Testament verse that mirrors this is Genesis 50:20. You remember the story of Joseph? Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. That's not good. It's not good when your brothers take you and sell you as a slave. You remember the story of Joseph? He's in jail. The guy was supposed to tell the guy when he got out of jail about him being in jail, and the guy did what? He forgot. I mean, Joseph, we don't feel it, but he spent a lot of time in jail. He was betrayed. He had terrible things happen to him. None of them I would call good. But he also wrote in Genesis 50:20 these words. He said this to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." You remember the story? Joseph ended up saving the country. He didn't start out at the top. For many years he was in jail, but eventually, because God's plan is good, and God's plan for his life was that he would be in charge, God used him to keep them all from starving to death. I'll tell you a big example. This would make you cry probably. When I was in high school, I dated a good Christian girl. I thought she was the one. And yes, Julie knows, she's heard this story 1,000 times. Her name is Janice King. She's legendary in all my churches. She lives in McKinney, is married to a millionaire. She missed this, I mean. But anyway. I mean, she was the real deal. She was beautiful. At least she was back then. This is beautiful now. She was a good Christian. I mean, she was the real deal. There was only one problem. My senior year, her junior year, she decided we needed to break up and date other people. I felt devastated. And I'll never forget, well, I've only dated you, so I need to date around to make sure I find the right person. And she marries the next guy she dates. That I know is not as good looking as me. He's a millionaire. But I remember going, oh, what a raw deal. And then I go off to college and had this view that as soon as I graduated from Baylor, I'd be married. Graduate from Baylor, and guess what? I didn't even have a date. I'm going to be a pastor. Who wants to hire a single guy? Y'all can say, oh, we don't have any problem with that. Well, just look up how many single. Everybody wants a married man, you know. So here I am going into the ministry training, and this blonde-headed beauty dumps me. And so for years, I'm just like, okay, God, all things work together for good, but not on my time plan. So I graduate from college, still no woman. And I'm a youth director in a small little town. Middle of nowhere. And I get a call from another youth director in the neighborhood, little town called Chilton. And it was her. And I promise you this. She's 100 times better than Janice King. Now, she's not perfect. But I'm not either. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. Romans 8:28 works. It was good according to God's plan for me to have her. And I didn't think so for a long time. I didn't know what His plan was. And sometimes when you don't know the plan, all you can do is hang on to the promise. And when you're going through pain and suffering, when you're going through difficulty, sometimes all you can say is, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this, but bring good out of it. And I trust you to bring good out of it. You see, God designs every circumstance in your life, good and bad, to bring spiritual character to your life. You can't be spiritual without difficulties. And some of you have been through a lot more difficulties than I have. And some of you are here because you understand God brought good out of it. It was not good, it was horrible. But we serve a God who's still in control when bad stuff comes. Final thing. In verse 29, you see this. It should be the goal of every one of you that calls yourself a believer. Our goal is to become like Jesus. When you go through difficult times, when you go through hardships, when you go through pain, if you will allow God to work through the Holy Spirit in your life, He will take those difficulties, those tragedies, those sufferings, and He will make you look more like Jesus. Did you look at verse 29? Such a beautiful... For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son. God chose you not to be a church member. He chose you to look like Jesus. The whole plan, the whole goal, the whole purpose for your life is that you will become like Jesus. I hear Christians, I go to church every Sunday. I read my Bible every day. I'm a good Baptist. Who cares if you don't look like Jesus? That is the whole goal, is you look like Him. I love, Paul says, He chose them to become like His Son. Now, it's important to read your Bible. It's important to go to church. It's important to do all the things. But here's the thing I want you to see. The goal of the Christian life is not in the doing. It's in the becoming. It's in becoming like Jesus Christ. And the longer you live and the more suffering and pain that you go through, hopefully the goal is that you look more like Jesus. Because that's our goal. And when I look at this passage that he has, and I look at verse 28, and when I look at verse 29, you see such beauty that God is in the business of changing us to make us look like Him. And He uses pain, and He uses suffering, and He uses difficulties to make us more like Him. And here's the good news. Someday, there will be no more tears. There will be no more sickness. And we have that hope. So I don't know what you're going through this holiday season. I only know what I have to deal with. I only know what I have to struggle with. But here's the thing I do know. I can survive it. I can survive it because it's temporary. I can survive it because I have the Holy Spirit to help me. I can survive it because I trust God to bring good out of my messes. And finally, I can survive it because my goal is to become like Jesus. And the more I go through with Him, the more I look like Him. So suffering. Nobody wants it. No one signs up for it. But the truth is, every single one of us will suffer. I just want you to be prepared when it comes, because it will come. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your love, and I thank You so much for Your grace. And Lord, the last couple years have been tough. Losing my dad, that was tough. But You've brought good out of it. I watched my brother start going to church after many years of not going to church. Father, I've watched You bring good out of so many difficult things in my life. And Romans 8:28 does work. The problem is we sometimes don't allow it and we don't look for it. So Father, help us to survive the sufferings that we will face with Your help. I ask this in Jesus' name.